Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And my name is Joe.
We're going to be talking about some news here today. We've got a couple of news stories. The first one is on a strike that flight attendants went on. I remember hearing about this thinking, oh, dear, I thought Taiwan didn't strike so much. It's kind of hard if people go on strike because it just means they are unhappy with their job conditions. Maybe they think they work too hard or their pay isn't high enough, something, or maybe they don't even get enough vacation days and they strike, which means they refuse to work. And it really makes it hard on the company, and if the company has customers, it makes it hard on customers too. But those striking flight attendants got what they wanted.
That's right. They got what they were demanding. We're going to learn all about what happened during the strike, who was affected, and why they were going on strike as well. And we're also going to take a look at a story about plastic. Plastic is a big problem these days for the environment. It gets recycled, some of it, but a lot of it winds up in places where it should not. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and read through today's article, the news stories for today, and then Stephanie and I will be back to discuss them.
First ever flight attendant strike in Taiwan. China Airlines CAL flight attendants, who belong to the Taoyuan Flight Attendants Union, staged the first flight attendant strike ever in Taiwan's history at the end of June. Disputes over work hours, subsidies, and a change in the reporting location led to the strike. In May, CAL imposed a new work hour formula that cut 80 minutes from the flight attendants' daily payable hours by making them report for work at Taoyuan International Airport instead of Taipei Songshan Airport. The company proclaimed that this was because time spent traveling to Taoyuan was not considered working hours. The new formula also halved the time allowed for post-flight duties, giving flight attendants less time to rest between flights. The union's demands included an increase in flight attendants' overseas subsidies, a guarantee of 123 days off a year, and a regulation allowing attendants to report for work in Taipei rather than Taoyuan. CAL's new management agreed to a compromise on the demands after the one-day strike. Even so, the brief strike cost CAL an estimated 500 million NT dollars.
Plastics on the menu for this species of bacteria. More than 220 million tons of plastic are produced every year, and despite an increase in recycling, much of it gets dumped in landfills and oceans. However, nature may be fighting back. Japanese researchers recently discovered a new type of bacteria that eats PET, a type of plastic used in many different products. It's called I. sakaiensis. The researchers, who went through hundreds of samples of PET pollution before finding the bacteria, say that it is the first known species that can completely break down PET. It works by turning PET into another substance called MHET, and then turning that into the basic elements of PET, which can be reused. There is a downside, though. I. sakaiensis takes quite a long time to eat PET. In a lab experiment, it took 6 weeks to completely break down a very thin film of PET. This means that the species isn't a quick fix to the world's plastic pollution problem, but perhaps a sign of something bigger and better to come.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a look at the first news story before we move on to the one about bacteria. The headline, that's what we call the title of a news story in a newspaper, or if it's broadcast on TV, it's still kind of the headline, I guess. First ever flight attendant strike in Taiwan. Now, if you're a flight attendant, you're someone who provides service on airlines. In airlines, I guess at an airline, because flight attendants can also work on the ground as well. But a flight attendant usually refers to the people who are on board the plane. They ask you if you want something to drink or which meal you would like if you're on a longer flight. They used to be called stewardesses, and they were all women. When they added men, the men were called stewards. But then they came up with this gender-neutral title a while ago, flight attendants. Sometimes I still slip, Joe, and I call them stewardesses, I'll be honest.
I still say steward, stewardess sometimes as well. But flight attendant is the preferred term for today, for modern times.
Mm.
We also see the word strike in the headline. Now, Stephanie touched on this in our intro to the lesson. If employees at a company go on strike, that's the phrase we use, going on strike, or if it's past tense, they went on strike, it means they refuse to work because they believe that their working conditions are not fair, or they believe they are being mistreated or taken advantage of in some way. So they say, we're not going to work until you do A, B, and C, until you give us something. They make demands, in other words. We're going to get to that word a little bit later as well. But let's get into the first paragraph of the story. We're talking about China Airlines, or CAL for short. China Airlines flight attendants, who belong to the Taoyuan Flight Attendants Union, staged the first flight attendant strike ever in Taiwan's history at the end of June. So this was not only a strike, but it was a historic moment. We have these people who are in a union, the Taoyuan Flight Attendants Union. Now, unions are organizations of employees, usually who work for a certain company or just do a certain job. They can be employees from different companies, but they do the same job. And they will kind of band together in an organization so they will have protection, so that management at those companies can't do things that are unfair to them. Unions, like, say, in North America, for example, are very, very powerful organizations sometimes. They're very big. They have a lot of members. They hold a lot of political power because the leader of the union will say, okay, this election, we're going to vote for this guy. And then those millions of people will then vote for that person usually.
Unless they have their own opinion.
That's true. They don't always have to do that. I'm just giving a broad example. They are powerful.
Yeah, they are. Now, it says here they were having a dispute over work hours. A dispute here is a noun. It just means some sort of disagreement or argument, some sort of debate over something. We often use this word dispute when we're talking about a disagreement between management and the employees of a company that sometimes leads to a strike. They were just arguing about work hours, whether they had to work too long or maybe they didn't like the way it was arranged. Subsidies refers to money that is provided if you have to spend money out of your own pocket. Maybe you get a subsidy for meals if you work at a company. So while you're at work, they won't pay for your full meal, but they'll give you a little bit back based on what you spent. And a change in the reporting location, all of these things led to the strike. They caused it. The reporting location is kind of interesting because if you work at the Songshan Airport, why would you have to go to Taoyuan to report for work? Because it's so far away. But you can see why. In a minute, we're going to explain some of these things they were unhappy with. You can see why they went on a strike or went on strike.
In May, CAL imposed a new work hour formula that cut 80 minutes from the flight attendants' daily payable hours by making them report for work at Taoyuan International Airport instead of Taipei Songshan Airport. So they imposed these rules. If someone imposes something, it means they have authority, they have power, and they tell someone else that they have to do something. They put a rule in place, or perhaps a law. For example, your parents might impose a curfew on you. They might say, you have to be home by, I don't know, 9 p.m., 10 o'clock at night, or there's going to be trouble. In this case, they imposed a formula. Formulas are usually having to do with math. It has to do with calculating something or figuring out what something equals. This formula cut 80 minutes from the flight attendant's daily payable hours. Payable hours means the hours for which the flight attendants get paid. Sometimes in Taiwan, as we all know, sometimes employees have the hours they get paid for, and then they keep working, and then they don't get paid for those hours.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it happens.
Yeah, it happens. It happens at a lot of different jobs, I know. Anyway, they were getting some of their money cut from their paycheck, you could say that, because they had to report at a different place. So the company, this is China Airlines, proclaimed that this was because time spent traveling to Taoyuan was not considered working hours. So they didn't want to pay their flight attendants for travel time. We would call that travel time in the States, in the U.S. Now, if you proclaim something, you state something officially, publicly, and you say this is true, and they didn't want to pay the flight attendants for some of their travel time. Now, the new formula also halved the time allowed for post-flight duties, giving flight attendants less time to rest between flights. If you half something, it means you cut it in half. It's simply a way of saying you're taking some sort of figure or amount and just cutting it in half or dividing it in two. So they have the time allowed for post-flight duties. Of course, the time you spend on the airplane in the air isn't all of their job. They have other duties or responsibilities to take care of, and they cut that in half. So the flight attendants didn't have as much time to rest between flights. Sometimes you really do need to rest between flights because flying is really hard on your body, actually.
That's right. It's a very demanding job, both physically and mentally, and they wouldn't have enough time to rest between flights.
Yeah.
So let's learn what the union wanted about the union's demands. Mm-hmm. I touched on this word a little bit before, but your demands are the things not only that you want, but you're saying we must have these things.
Mm-hmm.
In a strike, you say we must have these. Our demands must be met or we will not return to work. So the union's demands included an increase in flight attendants' overseas subsidies, so the money they would get for staying overnight in another country, for example. A guarantee of 123 days off a year. A guarantee is like a promise.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're saying you will definitely have something or we will give you something, and then you have to stand by it if it's a guarantee. And a regulation allowing attendants to report for work in Taipei rather than Taoyuan. A regulation is like a rule. We have it in companies. You have company regulations saying, you must do this, you must not do that. Those are all regulations. So they were going to say, yes, if you want to report for work in Taipei, you can go ahead and do that instead of having to go all the way to Taoyuan to report for work.
Wow. So CAL's new management agreed to a compromise on the demands after the one-day strike. A compromise is when two sides that are arguing about something or disputing something, they each give a little bit to the other side. They don't get everything they want. They give a little so that both sides come out feeling like it's a win-win in that particular dispute. So even though they only went on strike for one day, wow, it cost that company an estimated 500 million NT dollars. Estimated means this isn't the exact amount, but it's a good guess. So it did cost the company a lot of money, but I think they had some fair demands, actually, the flight attendants. So good for them. We're going to take a quick break now, guys. Listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to talk about the plastic and this new type of bacteria that can take care of it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天第一篇要看的呢是华航罢工的新闻。在讲到呢这里的第一句写着 China Airlines CAL flight attendants who belong to the Taoyuan Flight Attendants Union staged the first flight attendant strike ever in Taiwan's history at the end of June.在这里呢我们首先针对空服员以前我们常常说 steward 或是 stewardess 在现在已经很少用了针对空服员我们统称为 flight attendants 这些呢属于华航的空服员他们归属于桃园的空服员职业工会在这里对于所有的职业工会都可以使用 union 这个字这里的动词用了 stage 在这里呢是有筹划发动的意思像是这里所谈到的 stage a strike 也就是有发动罢工 a strike 是一个名词除了有罢工罢课或是罢市不卖了也可以用 strike 这个名词哦而接着呢他们到底希望怎么样的诉求能够被尊重原来是因为呢在第二段一刚开始有提到华航它其实是实施了一个 a new work hour formula 它其实实施了一项新的工作时数准则 formula 在这里当作名词，可以解释成为准则或者是方案的意思。这里面稍微来看一下，第一个要求就是 making them report for work at Taoyuan International Airport instead of Taipei Songshan Airport。 其中就提到要求空服员要在桃园机场而不是台北的松山机场报到上班。第二个要求在第二段的最后面提到，是 giving flight attendants less time to rest between flights。 这样一来的调整呢，也使得空服员在航班之间的休息时间也就更少，因为这样子新的规定当然造成了他们想要罢工。第三段一刚开始提到 The union's demands included an increase in flight attendance overseas subsidies, a guarantee of 123 days off a year, and a regulation allowing attendants to report for work in Taipei rather than Taoyuan。其实在这里呢，工会的要求在英文里面 demand 就可以当作是要求、请求的意思。而如果我们说某一个东西是 fall short of demand， 也就是有供不应求的意思。这些工会的要求包括了要增加空服员的海外津贴，在这里津贴我们使用的名词是 subsidies， 常常是用复数来表示，还有一个保证 guarantee， 也就是一年要有123天的休假。那么 guarantee 当作名词，除了有保证，还有商品保证的意思。举例来说， The TV set has a year's guarantee， 指的就是这架电视机有一年的保固期。另外呢，还要求呢，这样子的 regulation 规定是到台北报到上班，而不是桃园的规定。虽然这个诉求后来有经过协调，但是这一次的罢工还是让华航损失了将近$500 million NT$5 billion。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, now it's time for our second news story of the day. We're moving from a flight attendant strike、to a new species of bacteria. Species is used to refer to different varieties of living things. Humans are a species.、Dogs and cats are species.
There's plants as well, right?
There's different species of plants and animals and all living things.Now, bacteria are microscopic, little molecules, atoms. They are things that can cause diseases, or some of them can actually be used to cure、diseases as well. We have bacteria in us right now. If we didn't have bacteria in our bodies, we would not be able to be alive. So there are actually some bacteria that are helpful, and that's what we're talking about today.The article begins by saying more than 220 million tons of plastic are produced every year, and despite an increase in recycling, much of it gets dumped in landfills and oceans. So this is a lot of plastic we're talking about. 220 million tons, they're produced or made, and despite an increase in recycling, so even though we're recycling it, we're trying to reuse a lot of it,Much of it gets dumped. When we talk about something getting dumped, we're usually referring to something we don't want or need or have a use for anymore, and we just throw it away. And we don't have care for where we put it. We just kind of toss it wherever. In this case, we're talking about landfills. Landfills is the garbage dump. It's the place where you take trash...And it just kind of piles up. Sometimes they burn it.
Sometimes they bury it.
Sometimes they bury it in the ground.
Underneath the ground.
Yeah, but it just, basically it just kind of sits there. It's not a great way, to get rid of garbage. It just kind of...sits somewhere, and it also goes into the oceans, and that's even worse.
That's bad. It's killing the fish and other living things in the ocean. I wanted to mention to everybody out there, I know sometimes people who are listening like to learn some slang. Sometimes when we use that word dump. It's a verb. We're talking about when a boyfriend or a girlfriend wants to break up and they just kind of say, hey, I don't want to date anymore. I don't like you anymore. Sometimes we'll say, oh, I got dumped, or he dumped her, or she dumped him. So that's another way we use that verb, dump. It says here in the next sentence, even though that it's getting, that all of this garbage is getting dumped in landfills, it looks like nature is going to be fighting back. If you fight back, it means you've been attacked, but you don't want to take it anymore. So you turn and you start protecting yourself, defending yourself, and fighting to protect whatever you're protecting. Here, nature is trying to fight back and protect itself. Now, Japanese researchers recently discovered a new type of bacteria that eats PET, which is a type of plastic used in many different products. I'm just going to guess here, Joe, that PET stands for three really long, really hard words that we can't pronounce. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes. It's a type of plastic, and it has a really long scientific name, but everybody just calls it PET. Unless you're a scientist, you don't need to say the whole name. PET is just fine. Well, we're going to learn what the bacteria is called. Those have really long, hard-to-pronounce names as well. This one, it says it's called Isakiensis. I'm doing my best on that one. Going to call it Isakiensis. And the researchers who went through hundreds of samples of PET pollution before finding the bacteria say that it is the first known species that can completely break down PET. So this has never been seen before. They've discovered all kinds of bacteria, many different species or varieties over the years, but this is the only one that can break down PET. In this case, break down means to take something from a whole and put it into its individual small, tiny, microscopic parts until it almost kind of disappears, or it doesn't become a problem anymore in this case, because we're talking about plastic or PET. So imagine a PET bottle or something. This bacteria could take it and break it down until it would kind of dissolve or just not be there anymore, basically, or not be harmful.
Yeah, if something breaks down, it kind of separates, it goes into pieces maybe. We'll also use breakdown as a noun. We put those two words together. Someone can have a breakdown if they're emotionally upset and they just can't handle life anymore. Your car can break down on the highway or on the road, and that would be a verb phrase where the two words are separated. So it's an interesting word. We can use it in different ways. Here we're breaking down the plastic that's called PET. It works by turning PET into another substance. A substance is any sort of matter that has particular properties or characteristics. You could call glue a substance. If we don't know what it is, we'll call it a substance. So this one is called MHET. Again, these letters stand for really long, hard words. So we're just going to call it MHET. And then turning that into the basic elements of PET, which can be reused. Well, that's even nicer. It breaks it down, but what is left is actually reusable, which is a great thing to find out. Usually, if you have plastic, it just is junk and garbage forever. This is a good invention, a good discovery.
That's right. It sounds pretty good. But in the next paragraph, we learn that there is a downside, though. The downside is the negative part. There's the positive side or the upside, and now there's the downside. This is the negative part of what this bacteria can do. It says, Isakiensis takes quite a long time to eat PET. So this doesn't happen quickly. It doesn't happen right away. In fact, in a lab experiment, a lab is where scientists do their experiments and do their work, it took 6 weeks to completely break down a very thin film of PET. So it takes weeks to do this. And this was just a very thin film. A film is a very, very thin layer on something.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very thin. It would be difficult to measure exactly. We're
right.
talking like less than a centimeter or maybe even less than a millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very thin, and it took a long time to break down even this thin layer.
Well, it does take a long time, but you know, the Earth is going to be around a long time, hopefully. So I think it can still help, but this means that the species isn't a quick fix to the world's plastic pollution problem, but perhaps a sign of something bigger and better to come. Sometimes when you have some sort of scientific discovery, it then leads to something really useful. It looks like they're just starting down the road to figuring out how to get rid of some of the plastic that we have in our landfills and just all of the garbage that we as humans produce. We hope that it is a good positive sign of bigger and better things to come. Guys, right now, we are going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to sign off.
第二则的新闻是要来介绍吃塑胶的细菌。我们在第一个句子提到 ,more than 220 million tons of plastic are produced every year, and despite an increase in recycling, much of it gets dumped in landfills and oceans.在这里提到每一年有超过2亿2000万吨的塑胶被生产出来。那么尽管虽然我们用 despite 或者是 in spite of 后面加上名词来代表呢，尽管虽然在回收的量上面有增加，但是大部分的塑胶呢到最后还是 gets dumped， 还是被倾倒抛弃在掩埋场或者是海洋当中。 dump 这个字当作动词就是有倾倒抛弃的意思，我们常常说倒垃圾就可以说 dump the garbage。而第二段在这里提到 Japanese researchers recently discovered a new type of bacteria that eats PET, a type of plastic used in many different products. 日本的研究员最近发现了一种会吃 PET 的新类型细菌，而 PET 在这里补充说明用同位语打逗号来说明它是一种常常被使用在不同产品当中常见的塑胶类型。第二段的后面有提到它是怎么样来吃这个塑胶的呢？ It works by turning PET into another substance called MHET and then turning that into the basic elements of PET.Which can be reused. 这种细菌呢，会把 PET 变成另外一种称之为 MHET 的物质。Substance 在这里当作名词就是物质的意思。我们讲到 harmful substance, 有害的物质。先把它变成 MHET 之后呢，再把这样子的 MHET 改变成为 PET 的基本成分，然后就可以被重复使用了。听起来挺不错，但是却有缺点，它要花很多的时间。第三段的最后一句提到 This means that the species isn't a quick fix to the world's plastic pollution problem, but perhaps a sign of something bigger and better to come.虽然不是一个快速解决的一个方案 a quick fix， 但是也许也暗示着未来会有某个效果更好的细菌出现。 OK， 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
Well, we hope you've enjoyed our News Watch unit today, learning all about the historic flight attendants strike for the flight attendants union out in Taoyuan and this new species of bacteria.That can hopefully help us with our big plastic problem here on planet Earth. We're out of time, so until the next edition of English Digest, I'm Joe.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.